And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. Here we go, another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
And welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on Let's Talk Hookup and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Pete Gray here, Rock Cod Rick Mexa. We're in the world headquarters here of Let's Talk Hookup, right next to the San Diego Landings in Point Loma. We have a couple of legends here. Captain Ben Griffith, Captain Don Sansom, fishing legends. They've been around for quite some time in this fishing world in San Diego and have some good stories to share.
Yep, makes you smile thinking about all the fun memories of fishing with Ben and hearing all the stories of Don.
It's been
a great time. Yeah, we're having a lot of fun for sure.
A lot of great texts, a lot of great calls of talking the good old days.
Yep, no doubt about it. And if you want to join us, man, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call this morning at 213-432-1090. Again, 213-432-1090. That's how you reach us here on Let's Talk Hookup this morning. Or shoot us a text. Text the show. We got so many great texts lined up to read for the second hour here. Text the show, only available through the Let's Talk Hookup app. It's a free download, and we'll get your text on there. Unfortunately, there's far too many that we're able to read, but keep them coming. We always pick some of the fun ones and read them on the air. But every text that makes it on the show and every phone call that makes it on the show, you're going to be eligible to win a great trip. We're giving away a full-day trip on board the San Diego out of C4 Sport Fishing to one lucky caller at the end of the show today.
Yeah, you have a good one, huh?
Yeah, I got a great text here that's starting off the second hour. This is from John in San Diego, and it was for Ben. Can you describe the challenges of loading and unloading the sport fishing boat from the Imperial Beach Pier?
We did it for 1 year, and I was told the pier was the same length when they rebuilt it, but it wasn't. It had to have been shorter, because when they put it back in, when we were trying to load with we had an adjustable ladder going down and a ramp, and we get down to the end, and we're still having a 4 and 5 foot drop, and if it was low tide, it was a disaster. The straw that broke the camel's back for me was we had a lady she was first in line. Tom Muehlman was a really good operator, and he's running the Morningstar, and the kid really sharp on the deck, and she's afraid to step across. We've gone up and down twice, and she still won't step across when the boat comes up. Finally, I said, "Look, ma'am, if you know, we can give your money back if you want." She said, "No." I said, "Okay, when I tell you to step, step. Don't step before, don't step after. You'll just step across, and Richie will help you." Okay. So he came up, and I said, "Step," and she locked up. And I had her by the hoodie, and then the boat dropped about 3 on the way down. She stepped.
Oh, no.
And that's between the pilings and the boat, and Richie grabbed her around the legs and then pulled himself and her over backwards and stopped her from going in.
Oh, boy. Wow.
And that was when I went down and talked to the port district and said, "I'm done.
Yeah.
We're not going to continue this. We're going to kill somebody."
Yeah. So. And the advantage of that, you were right next to the Coronado Islands,
It was unbelievable.
Yeah,
I mean,
we could take six miles, something like that?
Yeah, and we'd be there in 30 minutes, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And be fishing on a half-day trip. It was unbelievable.
I did a trip with Ben out of the Imperial Beach Pier there, and it was a half-day trip. I had caught 14 yellowtail and 2 dorado, and it was still like the best, you know, that amount of time, and young kid, it was like the favorite fishing memory I had. And that boat was so fast. I mean, that boat was so fast as it was, but then to have the head start of being right there, that was really
How
special.
Fast was that bright Morningstar?
Well, you could make it go pretty fast. I mean, it would do 18 real easy.
Wow.
And when I became a believer in it, John Cox ran the Zeta, and I was fishing on the Morningstar. I hadn't bought the boat
yet. Those are sister boats.
No, the Morningstar was the Pursuit.
Okay.
And I'm down at San Martin on the 6, and here comes this ball of white spray out of the north, and I watch him. He circles around, goes out, stops on the spot of yellowfin, you know, bullet-sized yellowfin. They loaded the boat with a yellowfin, go back up, and I found out he was on a one-day trip.
Wow.
Come on.
150, no, one-day trip, 150
miles.
Yeah. I said, there's something to be said for this thing, you know?
Yeah. So, of course, that was before fuel was $4 a gallon, right?
Yeah. But then, and then when I changed engines, I put the cats in. We went down to 12 knots, 12-knot cruise.
Wow. So but, originally it was gas?
No, no. It had 1271 turbos.
1271 turbos.
I just love that it went down to a 12-knot cruise.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and jump back in the phones, Rick. They're packed up. They want to talk to these guys.
Yeah, lots of great stuff coming. Let's give that try again. How about Dave from ANZA? Dave, you got us this time? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Got me there? So, okay.
Gotcha, Dave.
Hey, Dan, I fish with you several times on your boats. Really enjoyed it. But I remember when you had your boats, you'd run an ad in the Western Outdoor News, and you put in some political commentary, and always enjoyed reading that. You and I share a lot of common beliefs there. So, yeah, I went out. One of the times I went out on your boat, I took one of my sons with me. He was about 10 years old at the time. And there were several other guys that had their kids out on the boat with them, some couples on the boat, some really nice cross-section of people. There was also a group of guys that came out on the boat, and they were kind of rowdy there. And they were right in the middle of everybody. And let me tell you, I'm no choir boy, but they were filling the air with a lot of words I can't use on the radio. And your captain caught wind of this, and he came down, and he said, hey, guys, you know, we've got a mixed group on this boat. I want you to cool it. And it stopped right there. I just want to compliment you on running your boats in a way that a guy could take his kids or a lady friend out there and be able to enjoy the atmosphere. I really want to thank you for doing that.
Well, I appreciate it. We just tried to – I tell guys, if you lose a big fish, I expect a bad word or two, but turn the air blue when there's ladies on the boat and kids on the boat wasn't really necessary. So we just asked them to hold it down.
Very nice. Cool. Hey, thanks a lot for the call, Dave. Appreciate that. Now, Don, you have a pretty good Guadalupe story you want to share, right?
Yeah, it's a continuation of the one I just talked about. When we were on the searcher and taking the Cousteaus down to Guadalupe. Well, like I said before, they were going to stay on the island about 5 days.
Were they on the searcher, the Cousteaus?
Yeah.
You took them down there?
Yeah, we took them down.
Wow.
And then
wow.
Dropped them off on the island.
Wow.
And we dropped them off on the island. So the crew and I, we got a chance to look the island over real good for what's in that deeper water. It was really something, all those yellows in 80 fathom. That was incredible. So it's time to pick up the Cousteaus. So when we get them, we go up there, and it took them about an hour to get all the gear on the boat. And there's one more coming in, and it's it was Mrs. Cousteau. It was Philippe's wife. And she's coming out in the Zodiac. And there's a goat. There's a goat in the Zodiac.
In the Zodiac.
In the Zodiac. And I said, what are we going to do with this? We can't take that home or back to San Diego. And she says, oh, yes, we can. It's expedition immunity. And I said, they're not going to fall for it. What happens if they can't come? It was...
Yeah.
So we go in to San Diego customs.
With the goat.
With a goat on board.
With a goat. And all the time it's bah, bah, all the way home. So we get to customs, we clear, and the guy saw the goat. He says, you can't take this goat in without going through a lot of paperwork and time. So what we had to do, he says, you're going to have to go back offshore for 10 days. We're going to let the passengers off, and I would go out with the goat. And I said, no, we can't do that. So I finally talked to him, if we keep him at the dock. Because they said it's going to take 10 days to find out if this goat's
got quarantine.
Yeah, quarantine. So what did this mean? They called the San Diego Zoo. They brought down formula. It was a small goat. It looked like a baby, but it wasn't. Anyway, so San Diego Zoo brings down the pablum or where it was and the milk. So every morning, I would get out of my car in the parking lot there at Fisherman's Landing, and you hear, bah, bah. And you can hear all over the dock. And
in the meantime, you can't run the boat, right?
I can't do anything. He's in the galley, and we got him chained to one of the stanchions on the table. And he was crapping and peeing, and it was all over. It was horrible, but I couldn't do anything.
What
are you going to do? No, what could we do? I didn't want to go 10 miles offshore and wait with him. So finally, after 5 days, they came down and says, well, this is a stunted growth a goat. And he's got something wrong with him. We're going to have to put him down.
You're saying thank God.
Thank God. But the thing that really burned me about the whole deal, when it was time at the customs to clear the goat, you couldn't find the custodial lady that brought it.
Oh,
it was, she never called, never said, I'm sorry, never tried to help me, anything.
Boy.
It was just...
Oh, boy.
But
this is your problem now. You deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That's a funny story, though. Did you ever see the goat, Ben?
I never saw that goat.
You never saw that goat?
But how did they get the goat? I don't even know how they got it.
Yeah, how did they get it into a Zodiac?
I know. Yeah. I mean, how did they...
That's a good one.
If they could tranquilize her, I could see it. You know?
Yeah, yeah. Funny story. I wonder if there's still goats on Guadalupe. I would think that for food, stuff like that, for the locals there.
I think they've eradicated most of them.
Most of them, yeah.
There used to be on the Coronado Islands, right?
Oh, yeah. Coronado, San Clemente.
Yeah, but a few on South Island. Clemente still has some, I think, a few.
Yeah. Huh. Hey, here's a story, a text from Richard. Richard Henderson sent it. Good morning. Wanted to say hello to Ben and started fishing with you on the Maverick with the Gardena rod benders back in the 60s, remembering some exciting trips.
The Gardena rod benders stayed with me for the longest time. They started out on the Maverick, and then they went through like four more boats that I had and kept increasing in size, became the California rod benders. Elmer Cole was the charter master, and he was just he was the best fisherman. He didn't, not by what he knew how to fish, but by time on the rail.
Uh-huh.
He would not leave the rail. He would stand on the rail and he'd nose hook a bait, stand there if he was waiting for the boat to stop, have it in the well. As soon as the throttles would come back, the bait would go over the side. If he was trolling, that was fine. He'd troll and then he'd have his bait hanging in the well. And he always caught the most fish because he was on the rail all day. He never went in the galley.
Wow.
No, he'd get a sandwich out there on the rail and stand there. Well,
that's a true dedicated mangler right there.
Yeah, he was a good guy. And that was a good group, really good group for a lot of years.
All right. Cool. Well, let's jump back into it, Rick.
You got it, buddy. How about we jump back in, talk to Ted. Ted's calling us from all the way in Montana this morning. What's up, Ted? Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Here's trouble.
Good morning.
Good
morning,
Ted.
Good morning. I guess I should give a question to Ben and then one to Don. For Ben, you had the Maverick and I had the Coral Sea, and there was a little incident with white sea bass at the islands in the middle grounds, and I'll start it off. With Ben caught fish the day before, late in the afternoon, caught white sea bass. And he told Joe and I at the dock, Joe Dunn on the Champ, that we could, we'd have to meet out there at a certain time, and I think it was 1 o'clock. Don't be there before, we'll all meet there at 1 o'clock because they'll probably bite at the same time. And I think I got there a little early, maybe an hour early. Yeah. I'll let Ben tell the story. And then one for Don, and I know he doesn't want to hear this, but when he had the little, the searcher, the 65-footer, he might tell you the longest time he went in between having a jig strike for albacore. Those are the two ones I'll let those two guys tell.
That's fun, Ted. Thank you.
Well, I got the sea bass the one day, and I was trying to keep it quiet, but the sea bass are creatures of habit. And I caught them in a slot there in the middle between the two islands. And I came in late. I tried to camouflage the whole thing. Came in, and Ted and Joe were still waiting there when I came in. And where did he get him? I finally gave in and told him. I said, don't get there before 1 o'clock, because that's when it started. And we'll get there a little bit early, but... So at 11:30, I'm at the south end of South Island. I get a call from Ted. And he goes, "You better get up here." I said, "Yeah, up where?" And he says, "You know where." And I was screaming. I mean, it's an hour and a half ahead of time. So I go rolling up. I was full speed with a Maverick all the way up. I get up. I come around the corner, and his whole boat, he and the champ, Joe Dunn, they're both bent solid on these sea bass.
Everybody's got one on.
Yeah, and I lost my temper and hollered at him on the PA, and then he pulled his anchor and came up and hollered at me. And Joe was kind of sitting quiet, waiting for the whole thing to pass. But that was how you misunderstand an hour and a half difference on when you're going to meet someplace is hard to believe.
Wow, that's crazy. Hey, Sam Patella's on the line. Good morning, Sammy.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, boy. We're in trouble now.
Yeah. Morning, Pete, Rick, and Captain Griffiths, and Don. Good morning.
Good morning.
Loving the stories. I wrote down a few things here, so I'll try to. I know there's a lot of people calling in, but I got to go through a few things here. Ben, I never knew you worked on the new Loanne with Don. I knew Don worked on the Loanne with Dick years ago, but I never knew you were part of that. And
the
you
one,
were just
the
talking
one winner.
About. Yeah, you were just talking about the Maverick and. I you may be aware of this, but that boat is still around. Somebody resurrected that thing. I know at least it might have been 15 years ago, but 10 years that I know of, it's up in Long Beach, and it's absolutely gorgeous.
I didn't know that.
Somebody spent a lot of money on that boat. It's still around.
That's cool.
So people that remember the Maverick and these some of these stories and. You guys got a few years ahead of me, but I'm loving the story. Anyhow, I don't know Rick and Pete and some of the listeners. I used to work for Ben's brother Ted when I was before I started working for Don. And Don, I'm gonna get to you in a minute. But anyway, I was a very young boy back then, and you know we started working on the boats. We were all kids when we started working, and I started working for Ted when I was about. Oh, 13, 14 years old, 15, 16, working on this in the summer times. And, you know, thank God there was no HR back then.
Right?
Because things would be different, for sure. But anyhow, I started working for Don when he had he sold the new Loanne to his brother, Danny, and then he'd been on the 105 for a few years. I forget what year you got the 105, Don. But anyhow, I showed up on the scene in the fall of 1981, and I had the pleasure to work with that man through till 1986. And I wanted to say one thing that I don't know. A lot of people may or may not realize. I know a lot of guys that have just been fishing. Let's say somebody's been fishing 20 years. The navigational equipment that we have nowadays is you have to remember back in those days, there was no GPS. There was nothing. We didn't have the binoculars we have today.
Some of the boats didn't even have radar, right?
Most of them early on.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Ben, I remember Dick having the pleasure. The fish would come out sport fishing on the angler. He would tell us some boats didn't even have wheelhouses. They were open, you know, the open bridge boats and all that. That's a whole other story. But being able to fish with Don and watching him do his thing, especially fishing that ridge, that is a long, that is miles and miles of bottom, and Don knew where he was on that thing just by that. He's been talking about this flasher. We did have it. Don had a very good meter. Don never skimped on anything. He had the best of the best on his boats, but watching him drive around out on the wing of that 105 with that flasher, and it was just absolutely amazing. It was like going to a maritime college, being able to be on them. I have so many good memories of being on there with Don and all the fishing and just the good catches, the albacore and all that stuff. I have the utmost respect for him. It was memories I'll never forget.
That's cool.
This is awesome.
Just
really
amazing
cool,
time.
How many people would you take albacore fishing on the 105?
Oh, limited load 44.
Limited load 44. Didn't you at one time have like over 100 on the boat though, Don? I think you told me a story like that.
I got to tell you guys a story. I remember where we were fishing. Don, you were there, Don. We would get a strike and we everybody that put a bait in the water would get a bite. The fish wouldn't stick with us. But everybody would. I remember one time we had a 27 fish tangle.
27
I actually
fish.
Counted them. And that's one thing I do want to say, that when I started working for Don to expand my, you know, being able to get guys out of tangles, Don was phenomenal with that. Just absolutely the best teacher. He taught us all. When you worked for Don, you were like family. He was the boss. He was the captain. And we were all scared to death of the man. But he always had your back. He always had your back. That's one thing I want to say. But I don't think a lot of people realize another thing that I'm going to say here is that those techniques of working deck and all that were passed down to guys that we all know about today. We all know Taro on the Liberty, Cameron on the Vagabond, Ray Lopez on the American Angler. They all had Don's training and were never on the same boat with Don. We passed that down, and that is huge, and that is just – I just wanted to say that just got passed down in the whole – schooling of knowledge, and I had an awesome time working with him. It was some of the best memories in the sport fishing history that I have, and I'd love to roll the clock back.
Thanks, Cam.
That was awesome,
Cam,
buddy.
Sam Pantella, appreciate the contribution very much, and thanks for that. Got another
you guys
great
have
skipper.
A good day.
Yeah, you too. We have another great skipper hanging by, Jack Webster. Before we go to Jack, we're going to go find out what's biting out there, our fishdope.com report. Right, Rick?
You got it, man. And today it's sponsored by the Fish Pros of Fisherman's Processing in San Diego. Not only do they offer the best processing for your fish when your trip returns to the San Diego landings, as well as your private boat catch, but now with Fish Pros the Market, you can purchase fresh fish. They have smoked and jerky fish for sale. Their spices, rubs, smoked cheese, their famous tuna burger, and that amazing poke kit. Stop by their new location in Old Town on Taylor Street or call for details or an order online at fishermansprocessing.com. We've got your saltwater guide standing by, Captain Dave Hansen. Good morning, Dave.
Hey, good morning, Rick and Pete. Hey, Ben and Don. It's so great. Great to hear you guys, and I don't want to talk too long, but it's good to hear both of you, and it's the perfect to lead up to my tribute to my father next week, because you guys were all on the water at the same time back in the day, and it's just bitching to listen to these stories. Gang, there's a little bit of fish to catch. You know, the rock cod thing's closed right now, so things are kind of weird, but there's some halibut to catch over at Catalina. A couple of my clients were over there this week and had pretty fun halibut fishing. A couple of guys had limits of halibut, which is mind-boggling, but they did. And then one of my clients didn't even know what the limit was. They got 13 legal halibut. They thought they were only allowed to have two, so they threw the rest back.
Wow.
And, crazy stuff like that going on. But you just got to pick your spots in between the weather and get out and go fishing. But I don't want to take any more time. I want to listen to these two legends talk, and I will be in there with you guys next weekend, and we'll have fun talking about my old man.
Yeah, that's
love
for
it.
Sure. Captain Dave Hansen, our tribute to Don Hansen next Sunday, and Dave will be here along with Captain Ken Frankie, and I think we're going to have a host of other great call-ins, too, of tributes to your dad, and that's going to be a great time. And, of course, fishdope.com, your source, whether it be winter, spring, summer, or fall, fishdope.com has the reports for you. $20 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW, your $20 code. And, again, Dave, how do we find you?
Yeah, you can check out my website at yoursaltwaterguide.com. That way, once you learn that site, you won't have to follow these guys around anymore on these sport boats. You'll actually be able to go find your own fish and catch your own fish. That's all I'm trying to teach, is how to stop following sport boats and start figuring this out on your own.
There you go. All right, Captain Dave, we'll see you right here in the World Headquarters studio next Sunday for that great tribute to your dad.
All right, guys, I'm going to kick back and listen. Thanks. All right.
Fun one. Thanks, Dave. Again, remind you that it's sponsored by Anza Knives, handcrafting knives in the USA for over 3 decades. Check out the Fish Pro series and other custom fillet knives from Anza Knives. They're made from high carbon steel, which holds a great edge, and they're easy to sharpen. Anza fillet knives are the finest ever produced. Anza also offers knives for military, law enforcement, and hunting. Check AnzaKnives.com for more info and get that Fish Pro series available right now at Fisherman's Processing.
Captain Jack Webster, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Pete. Can you hear me?
Yeah, loud and clear, buddy. What's going on?
Hey, good morning. I want to say hi to Don and to Ben. You know, not much going on, Pete, here. I just knew that Don and Ben were going to be on the show, and And like Sammy was saying, you know, about the same age, I was down there, you know, bumbling around the docks when we were little kids. You know, I never worked for Ben, but Don would sub me out and send me over to his brother Ted every once in a while on the Coral Sea. So it was all a big family down there. But, you know, as a kid growing up, you look back, and you look back at being a kid down there, I so much appreciate the people that I bumped into and what a huge difference they made in my life. And I know Sammy was on here. The same thing, we were so fortunate. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize this, but the evolution of this whole fishing, you know, and Ben and Don both understand this, from fluorocarbon to spectra to two speeds to, you know, high-speed reels and stuff. You know, none of that was going on back then. These are the guys that are out there every day and on long-range trips, on one-day trips, and figured this stuff out. So I remember one story way back. I think Don got the qualifier in 1976. But, you know, I worked for Don on the New Loan, a little guy, and then he bought in with Bill Poole and Frank and got the qualifier over there at Fisherman's Landing. But, you know, I remember the first time that a long-range boat had over 200 wahoo on one trip, and that was with the Carl Newell trip. I wonder if Don remembers that. You know, and Carl had 5-to-1 reels, and everything wasn't perfect, but he was a real innovator and all that. I knew he was a good friend of Don's. And I remember I couldn't control myself. I ran up the side with one of those reels and was winding as fast as I could, and one of the wahoo bit it. You know, and that was like, it was a big mystery back in those days. And I remember that thing kept chasing it. And the next thing I know, that thing was on the deck with my jig in its mouth, my rod in my hand, up the side of the boat. I'll never forget that. As a little kid, that was a big experience.
Wow.
And that was the first time anybody ever got. You got to remember those, the wire, the way we rigged wire, all that stuff. These guys, you know, they helped figure all this out. And on the same deal on that trip, I went in the galley, and one of the passengers had a bottle of wine. And, you know, it was empty, so I washed it out and stuff. And I wrote a little note on it about the particulars of this trip. And threw that thing in the over the side. And I forget if that. I've had two found that have gone across the Pacific, but that one in particular is on the wall in the living room, the actual original note from that trip that over 200 fish wahoo were caught for the first time.
Oh,
and,
that's cool.
It was
found in the South China Sea.
You remember all this stuff, John?
Vaguely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You remember fishing with Jack?
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, yeah. Well, listen, Don, it's just, you know, I have to say just everything, and Ben, just we're so fortunate to have, you know, been around you. And I heard Sammy talking about, like, with the 720. That was a 726E Furuno flasher, which in this day and age, we'd all look at it and go, that's as primitive as all hell. But that was the best thing you could have. And I remember Don up there was such a student. And, you know, of the bottom and everything else, it wasn't about a GPS. We didn't have one of those. But he knew when he saw certain things on the bottom, the way the bottom was fluctuating on that ridge of where he was. So now I just I wanted to call in and tell I feel so fortunate to have known you when we were kids and learned from you. And, you know, that whole group, and it is a good thing for some kids to be down there and to learn about life and everything else and work ethic. Unbelievable, and how to treat people. So it was a big deal, buddy. I thank you very much, Don, for the privilege of even being around you when I was a kid.
And you know, Jack, as you know, you can share memories with Don at the Pearson Fuel Dock here, like I do and like you do. You go get your fuel at Pearson's over there in Shelter Island, and Don might even tell a story or two for you.
Oh no, for sure. It's great having him right there, and that guy just every once in a while when somebody's down there talking to him, I go, "Do you know the knowledge that guy has right there?" Because Don's so humble, you know. And so is Ben. Same way, always we were kids. Down there, they always looked after you instead of like somebody was going to mistreat you or send you the wrong way. But yeah, to be able to stop there and see him, it's a big deal. And he's, you know, doing his thing. And so when I drive by there, I just every once in a while I'm going to go in and say hi to him or obviously talking to
for
him on
sure.
the phone. But
that's cool, Jack.
Captain Jack Webster, nice to hear from you, Jack. And look forward to seeing you. Appreciate you joining us this morning.
Yeah, good to hear you guys. All right, Don and Ben, good to hear you. And you guys hang tough.
Yeah, thanks, Jack.
Hey, when we come back, we got We got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More of your phone calls, more great stories. We're having a great time with you. You stay tuned. You're listening to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Dana Landing in Mission Bay is truly the one-stop shop for a great day on the water. Come see our expert fishing staff for just about anything you need for a great day of on-the-water fun. Looking for a fishing charter? Dana Landing has you covered with the Blackjack, perfect for up to four anglers, or the Impulse with up to six. Dana Landing has a huge selection with everything you need to catch small bay bass or giant tuna. We will be sure to set you up with the right gear. We even offer reel repair and Mexican and California fishing licenses. Don't forget the amazing deli at Dana Landing with all the food, ice, and beverages you need to complete your day. Need freshwater tackle? Head to East County Bait and Tackle with all the finest rods and reels, the hottest freshwater lures, and live bait. ECBT has an amazing staff who love to share their passion for fishing. East County Bait and Tackle is located at the end of the 67 freeway on Main Street in Lakeside, and Dana Landing is next to the Dana Launch Ramp on San Diego's Mission Bay. Check out danalanding.com for more details.
Hayden Lane here from Fast Lane Kayaking, and I gotta tell you about all the rad new stuff we have in the shop. Like the fully updated new line of Hobie inflatable kayaks, the iTrek series. Hobie took the best-selling I-11S and made it even better, then added new models like it, like the new iTrek 9 that weighs just 37 pounds, fully rigged, packs into a small bag with wheels, and fits just about anywhere. And on the water, this thing performs. Featuring a super wide and flat hull shape that is stable and an elevated beach chair style seat that is comfortable. Or the all-new Hobie Mirage Lynx. Inspired by the shape of the inflatable kayaks, Hobie made a durable and ultralight hardtop model. It's the missing link. It looks like a hybrid of a stand-up paddleboard and a kayak. And the best part, at just 45 pounds, the hull weighs about half as much as similar sized kayaks. And it's stackable. Pile them up on your roof rack or your truck bed. You gotta see this thing. Stop by the shop, right on the water in Dana Landing Marina in Mission Bay. Or check us out online at fastlanekayaking.com.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels with the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities. Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short two-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Famas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
Hey, this is Rosie from Cedros Sport Fishing. Cedros Island is considered the yellowtail and calico bass fishing capital in the world, and nobody does it better than Cedros Sport Fishing. We are committed to providing first-class service to our guests and an unforgettable fishing experience. We have made a good thing even better. We are the only lodge to offer all of our guests a direct flight departing to the CBX in San Diego. Leave home in the morning and fish in the afternoon. We have a beautiful waterfront lodge and first-class meals and service. What are you waiting for? Call me at 619-772-7570 or check out CedrosSportFishing.com. Book soon. Trips are going fast.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Having a great time here this morning. Lots of time still for you to get through. If you want to call us, we want to hear from you. 213-432-1090.
Captain Frank Lopresti has joined us in the World Headquarters studios here. Hey, Frank.
Morning, Frank.
Hey, good morning. I cannot say enough about Don Sansom and what a fishing fool he was. Or he is.
Still is.
You know, the one thing about Don is there's nobody in the world that loved to catch a yellowtail more than Don Sansom. The more he caught, the more he loved him. And then Don, when I came to San Diego, Don and Dick Gaydosh were the guys that really helped me, taught me a lot about San Diego and how to fish down here. But then when we went long-range fishing, Don and I think the 23-fathom bank's called the golf course. The reason it was called the golf course is because back then we didn't have all the equipment. And we put flags down everywhere. In other words, buoys with flags so we could learn and we'd run from one spot to the other course and time. And eventually we could do away with the flags. But at one time it looked like a golf course. There had to be 20 buoys and flags on that bank.
Wow.
And that's how we learned that place. But But Don always had just the best eyes, and nobody fished any harder than Don Sansom.
Wow.
That's awesome.
He's a legend, and he's so humble, too. That's the thing. You got to almost have to pry stories out of him, right? Right, Don?
No, not really.
You remember Frank? Thanks, Frank.
That's fun, Frank.
Thanks for coming in. We'll look forward to, hopefully you'll be able to participate in our Don Hansen stories next Sunday.
That's for sure.
All right. Thanks, Frank. Thanks for joining us here in the World Headquarters. All right. Let's go ahead and jump back into it, Rick.
Well, the phones are packed solid, as are the texts. Everybody's excited to talk to these guys. Let's jump back in and talk to Richard, who's calling us from Hawaii this morning. Good morning, Richard. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Well, good morning, you guys. Hey, I just have the pleasure to work for Ben on the Saber, the Fugitive. He's got to be laughing.
Wow.
You got to love it. Hey, and Paul Lynch and Jim Darlin and, oh, God. What a bunch of people to learn from.
Yeah, that was with the Saber. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I ran it for H&M from 65 to 66.
Wow.
And what was your run then? What were you guys doing?
But just like now, but it was a whole different, you know, we didn't have the equipment that they have now, or, you know, the very few, some of the boats were starting to get radars by then, but a lot of them still didn't have radars. Sure. I didn't have one in there.
And was that a local boat you'd half day fish, or was that, you guys
no,
catch
that
out
was
before?
That was a 65 footer at H&M. It was a converted, they'd cut 20 feet off, was a PT boat. And,
Ben brought a brochure in from H&M. In what year was this? This was
65.
65. And
how much was it to go on the boat then?
So in 1965, an open party trip left at 2 a.m. It returned from at 1 to 2 p.m. and it was $10.
$10 textbook.
If you were under 13, it was $5.50.
$5.50. And how much was a half day trip?
Day trip was $5.
$5. How about that, huh?
$2.50 if you were under 13.
Yeah. Of course, fuel at Pearson's was probably about 19 cents a gallon.
19 cents,
right?
Then, yeah.
Was Pearson's around back in the 60s?
Yeah, it wasn't Pearson's though. It was. I forget what the name was back then, but. Yeah, it was right about that time it went in there.
Was it how many fuel docks were around back then?
Yeah, High Seas.
Yeah, High Seas was there, yeah.
High Seas and the Texaco dock at the end of Harbor Island and Cortez.
Okay, so same ones.
Yeah.
Same fuel docks. And then, I remember when I was a kid and we had a boat at the Konica, we used to pull into Pearson's back in the 60s, mid-60s there, mid to late 60s. When did you start working at Pearson's, Don?
About 20 years ago.
20 years ago?
Yeah, right at 20.
Kind of retired from sport fishing and went hanging out there.
Well,
hanging out.
To be honest with you, I have 6 Oscars on my mantle for screw-ups. And I don't regret anything that I've done in my life. I don't.
Yeah.
I've had a wonderful life.
I am, too. Exactly the same. I wouldn't trade my life for anything.
Yeah, you guys are lucky guys, for sure. Been in it, and we're lucky to have you around.
I wanted to say one thing about back then, we didn't have the equipment. You know, it was like, there was still thumb drags being used back in the late 50s.
Like leather?
Yeah, leather thumb drags.
Now,
yeah, still a few of those, but then they were going to the star drags. But I watched skippers and watched who had, you know, everybody had the same equipment, but it wasn't very good. You know, it was nothing compared to what we have now. But there was 3 guys that I saw over the years that I thought had a sixth sense. They were like born with it. And they always had a way of getting in fish. I never figured out how it was. I worked my butt off to try to get fish. But these 3 guys, one of them was Dick Gadosh, the other was Bill Poole, and the other guy was some guy named Don Sansom.
Oh, yeah?
And those 3 guys, they had a sixth sense. And LaPresti was talking about how he could just feel his way through it and just seem, and Gadosh and Poole had that same thing.
Yeah, wow.
But not everybody has it.
Not everybody had it. Yeah, as Bill Poole used to call it, fish sense. That kid's got fish sense, right? Yeah. Hey, be sure to check out this week's edition of Western Outdoor News, always loaded with great information. Of course, you can find out who's on Let's Talk Hookup every week in it. Got a really interesting article about all-time weirdest West Coast fish in this week's edition of West Out There. And, of course, a tribute to Don Hansen and a whole lot more. So be sure to check out this week's edition of Western Outdoor News.
All right, I got a great text message for the boys here. It says, good morning, gentlemen. Do you believe that there is a direct correlation between the anchovies and the albacore? Is it unusual that they're presently absent this far south? Or was it usual for those guys to take this big of breaks back in the 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s? That's from Stephen Fallbrook.
What do you guys think? Don? Chovy?
With the chovies, yeah, with the albacore, and it's they're colder water than the sardines, and that generally goes together. I still think it's more in cycles, but the swing now has been where the albacore come in. I think they got within 100 miles last year. A couple of boats got a few fish.
Yeah.
But then they turn and they go north. Now, when is that going to start again? You know, if we get that cold water swing in towards the coast, you'll see the albacore again. I don't think it's all over.
No.
But right now it seems like it. But I can tell you back in the 50s it seemed like it too.
Yeah.
You know, there was no albacore in 59. There was no yellowtail was 57, was wide open yellowtail, and all the inshore fish. And all the way through the 50s, but then it switched to albacore. So I think it's all going to, it'll switch around.
I remember the days in the 60s at the Point Loma Kelp having wide open yellowtail.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember when the San Diego came out and they had one, two, three, four, five rotations. There was Coast Guard capacity and one rotation sat out when they were catching those yellowtail up at Northwest, because
yeah,
it was just mass people wanting to catch those.
So guys, if you weren't on rotation, you just had to sit and watch everybody else?
Yeah, you had number five rotation.
Yeah, sure.
Then five would
then
come
you get
in.
Back in.
Yeah.
Oh,
no. Could you imagine?
So, Don, your thought, is there a correlation to the amount of anchovy here in albacore?
There has to be something to
has
it.
Has to be something
just
to
like
it.
The water temperature. You watch any fish that swims is guided by water temperature.
Yeah.
That's their living.
Back in the day, you guys fished with anchovies, right? There were no sardines around, right?
No, it was mostly anchovies.
Mostly yeah. Anchovies. Yeah.
And you wait and see. When this changes around, there are going to be a lot of people have to learn how to fish again.
Yeah. Yeah. And there will be a lot of people lined up at Fisherman's Line and Tackle buying new tackle, right?
Yeah.
Oh, darn, Ricky.
Well, you know, that's part of it.
Because the gear's altogether different.
Yeah.
There's a lot more finesse.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's really going to happen.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, my entire lifetime of fishing down here, you've never needed to fish an anchovy. There's been plenty of opportunities to fish with anchovies, but there's never been a necessity.
There's no sardine.
You know, since I have been fishing down here, you know, there's never been a time where you didn't have the option of doing it. I mean, maybe there's times when bait is tough for those kinds of things, but, you know, people that are of my age, I mean, there's never once did you have to rely on fishing anchovy because there was no other option.
Wow. Cool.
This
is
fun.
Let's go ahead and jump back into it, Rick.
You got it. Had a fun one here. We got a phone call from Ken. Ken's calling us from Fresno this morning. Good morning, Ken. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Good morning, guys. I really appreciate the conversation I'm hearing down there. Just want to say especially the hi to Don. I don't know if Don remembers me or not, but I had the pleasure working with him on the Qualifier 105 back in the 1970s. And I just got my skipper's license then. And back then in the 70s, they used to run these ecology trips down to the lagoons to watch the gray whales. And I think that's why Don hired me on, so I could run one of the skiffs to take the people around. But, God, there were some outstanding trips I had with Don on the boat. He was a fantastic skipper to work for. I'm sure he can remember several of the trips that I had the pleasure of working on, including a ridiculous black sea bass bite one time where the darn blacks were like a school under the boat. We sat there all day on the ridge catching black sea bass. And another thing that he had on that boat on the 105 was that he had these chartered of these rather wealthy Texans come on board, and there were like only 12 people or so, I think, on the 105. And we all went down to Socorro, and these people really weren't fishermen. They just wanted to go out there and have a good time. And Don was pulling his hair out because we were in such a wide-open wahoo bite. I think Don said he could have sworn we could have put on at least 500 wahoo that trip if we had any talent on the boat. But the one thing I remember about Don, and I really appreciated, was the fact that he has such dedication to catch fish for his passengers. And the one trip that really brings that forward is we were on a trip down there one time, and Don can get rather moody when you're not catching anything. And we had a rather miserable trip down there, and everyone was avoiding Don in the wheelhouse because he was in one of those bunks. And on the last day of the trip, we're running up the line from I think the Ridge or Alios, I think it was, and somehow we found a big kelp patty out there, and the darn thing was loaded. And we sat that whole afternoon on one kelp patty, and it absolutely made for the trip. And after that that dinner that night, when Don came down, he was a pretty happy guy. He pulled it off. It was salvaged the trip.
Don, you probably great stories about. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning. Appreciate that. You probably got some great stories of incredible catches. Is there one day that stands out in your mind of all the different fishing experiences you've had?
Yes. My love for fishing, the fish that I think is just the end of the rainbow for me, is fishing surface yellowtail. Mm-hmm. That's with a 10-foot rod and watching that yellowtail splash on it. But my most rewarding experience personally was one time where Bobby Fletcher and I were on the New Loanne. We were both deadheading that day. And we were fishing white sea bass in the flats, and Dick still owned the boat. Well, the birds would be working, and not often would they be picking like that. You know, they'd stay up when they're on squid. They don't pick like that, except when there's fish right underneath them. Well, Bill Poole taught me how to lollygag. That's casting out on the downwind side, letting it sink a little bit, and you move the rod like this.
Back and forth.
Yeah, so it would kind of flutter. Well, there's one particular day, I got 10 white sea bass, and Bobby Fletcher got 7. But the thing about with my 10, I had 2 of them with the white candy bar. When I hooked them, they came up out of the water.
Wow.
And Dick Gatos, you know, he caught a lot of white sea bass. He had never seen that before or since. That, to me, was my best jig.
White candy bar was, to my mind, was the all-time best jig.
That was the jig.
That and the trolling was it's come to sense as the clear cedar plug for overall.
Can you imagine wide open white sea bass on the iron, Ricky?
I love it.
Would that be something,
it.
Huh?
Awesome.
Yeah, and of course, Bob Fletcher, he doesn't like fishing surface iron at all, you know, right? Dart never liked fishing that surface iron at all. What about you, Ben? You have a quick memory of the best all time? We only have about a minute left.
Best all time was with Bobby Wire, and we went in one night at San Carlos Point. And we're just laid.
Where's San Carlos Point?
Down below Manzanillo.
Okay.
And I'd never been in there. I've been in a few times since and never got anything. But that particular night, it was full speed from the time we stopped until daylight on the black sea bass from 80 to 95 pounds. 98 black sea bass that night and about 150 yellowtail.
Oh my!
From about 11 o'clock till 6 in the morning.
This is down along the Baja coast.
Yeah.
What did the deck look like when you woke up?
It was just a disaster. I mean, it was just wide
Holy
open.
Holy mackerel.
It was just wide open.
Wow. And this is all before regulations where you can't take black sea bass.
Oh, yeah. No,
there were no limits on anything, right?
Basically not.
Yeah. The measure of success was your pile at the end of the day.
Yeah. Crazy. Wow. What amazing
That's great, man.
That's
I love it.
Unbelievable.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out what lucky guy is going fishing on board the San Diego. We got more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
This is Pete, and I hear it all the time. That Jim and Mary at Poway Valley Collision are amazing. I took my car to Poway Valley Collision, mentioned Let's Talk Hookup, and they gave us VIP treatment, fixed our car, and even gave us a special price. Believe me when I say Poway Valley Collision is worth the drive from anywhere in the Southland. At some point, your car will need a body repair, and I'm confident in saying it pays to go to Poway Valley Collision. Our listeners can save hundreds of dollars on your next car or truck repair. They work with most insurance companies, including Auto Club, MetLife, Wawanisa, and more. All you do is call Jim, Mary, or any of their team members, and they do all the rest. No hassles, just top-notch work and VIP treatment. When you take your car or truck to Poway Valley Collision, the job and experience will be top-notch. Get it fixed right at Poway Valley Collision. 14211 Garden Road in Poway. Check PowayValleyCollision.com.
You've been waiting for it, and it's finally here. The Gamakatsu Nautilus Ringed Circle Hook is now available in sizes 4, 2, 1, and 1-0. That's right. Those smaller, highly sought-after Gamakatsu Circle Hooks are now available in ringed and non-ringed versions down to size 4. It's the hook that will help you get that bite. The Gamakatsu Nautilus Circle Hook. Now in smaller sizes in ringed and non-ringed styles. Get it now at select tackle shops. For over 30 years, Sea Falcon has been manufacturing the finest handmade jigs and plugs, utilizing superior components and hand-painted finishes. Sea Falcon lures are made in Japan and are based on hand-carved originals, utilizing the highest level of quality and attention to detail. Gamakatsu's premium assist hooks are ideal to pair with Sea Falcon lures, providing you with one of the highest quality lure combinations on the market. When you're shopping for premium jigs and plugs to chase the fish of a lifetime, look no further than Sea Falcon. Great fishing is what Seaforth Sports Fishing in Mission Bay is all about. With free parking and full stock tackle shop, Seaforth Sport Fishing is a favorite among anglers. Come aboard top boats like the Aztec, Cortez, Endeavor, Apollo, Outer Limits, Elgato Doe, Pride, Polaris Supreme, Tribute, Pacifica, Pacific Voyager, and the Voyager. Plus, the new Seaforth Sea Watch in San Diego offer the finest half and full day trips available. Seaforth Sport Fishing. To charters or schedule, check seaforthlanding.com. Run by fishermen for fishermen in Mission Bay.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. Okay, it's time to find out the big winner going fishing on board the San Diego. We've got all the callers listed, all the texters listed. Ben's going to do the honors, flip our coin, and find out which column we're pulling the winner from.
All right, flip a coin, Ben.
And callers are the big winner today. So that is Greg in Santa Rosa. Greg, you're going fishing on board the San Diego. Congratulations.
You're going to have to make a trip down south.
You have a great trip.
Yeah. Man. For sure. And, of course, Don Sansom, great sharing memories, and there's never enough time. But, of course, your schedule at the Pearson Fuel Docks, you're there every day except Tuesdays and Thursdays, right?
Right.
Yeah. So if you want to go get some fuel for your boat, talk story with Don, you can find him there, along with John Grabowski, too. You want to talk story with John Grabowski? He's there, too, right?
John Klein.
And that's right. I forgot about Schmidt. Yeah, John Klein is there, too. But he comes in and out, right?
Well, he works for he's running Ted's boat now.
He's running Ted's boat. Okay.
Well, he takes care of it.
Yeah. But you can see him all there. All the old legends.
Well, if all
there,
those guys are there. You better take some extra time.
Yeah.
Get your fuel.
For sure. For sure. And Ben, where do we catch up with you?
I'll be back down here. I'm going to one more year on my license. Will be my 60th year, and then we're going to call it, shut it down after that.
And you're still running, Top Gun 80?
I've been over with Chuck Taft on his boats running night driving. I don't want all the responsibility now anymore. I just take him out and bring him back.
You hide in the wheelhouse.
Yeah.
But if you want to go fishing with you, it'd be on the boat, right?
Well, generally, I get quite a crowd down there in the middle of the day talking about just what we're doing here.
Yeah.
I love it.
In the galley.
Pretty cool. Well, always a pleasure having you guys, and I can't imagine the number of stories that you didn't tell, and also the number of people that worked with you that wanted to tell stories. I mean, we were flooded with texts.
Our phones were full the whole time. We unfortunately had to strand a bunch of calls on the phone and a bunch of texts too.
Yeah,
so we just have to do it again.
We just have to do it again. It was great. It was Ben's idea. He called me up and said, "What do you think about this idea?" And he says, "Yeah, how about if I bring Don?" And I was like, "No way you're going to get Don in our studio." And he did. Man, Don, thanks for coming. Ben, thanks for coming.
Really, really cool.
Really fantastic. And will you do it again?
Sure. Why not?
You up for it, Don?
I'd love to.
All right. That's cool.
As long as we're still kicking. You know.
Yeah, heck yeah, man. You guys are pretty strong. Great. Yeah, for sure. Well, of course, we have a great week ahead of us. Hopefully everybody can get out fishing, and a lot of fun talking good stories. And there's some good fishing going on, right, Rick?
Yeah, I mean, still the Pacifica, still catching bluefin at a Seaport Sport Fishing. We heard Marco saying they're going on it. I know there was great fishing that those guys had. So still middle of January, bluefin to be had within, you know, day and a half range of San Diego.
It's
wild, man. Well, lots of fun going on.
Well,
right now.
Next weekend, of course, thanks to Christian for manning the phones in the cold east there. Sure appreciate all his help. And Adam, of course, doing a tremendous job on our app. Next weekend, great shows. John and the guys from Dana Landing from ECBT, Don and Steve and the boys from Dana Landing, ECBT. And then, of course, next Sunday, our big tribute to Don Hansen featuring Dave Hansen and Ken Frankie right here in the world headquarters. And, of course, a lot of people are going to join us on the phones, too. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you next week right back here on the Let's Talk Hookup app and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.